Welcome to Live, Behind the Veil, an atmosphere where men and women of God speak His word to this age and bring His kingdom to this earth. Do you have ears to hear and eyes to see what God is doing in this hour? Let us join our host and the family's conversation as the Holy Spirit is unfolding the word behind the veil.
Hey, I want to give three scriptures. First one is real easy. We know this forever as we have not because we ask not. Yeah. And then the second one is probably even more important, is we have not because we ask amiss. If I'm going to go out there and say, God, please give me $1 million, or God, please heal my broken arm, if you come out approaching Him as a beggar, He's not going to answer that prayer. That's not what He wants to hear. It's our worship in giving Him thanks. Give Him thanks first. That's huge. People neglect doing that. That's where the Israelites had run into a lot of problems, especially you look at when they left Egypt. They should have been extremely thankful, but what did they do? They murmured and complained, and God got kind of upset. And then the third scripture is, it depends on translations, but we know the Greek tense changes it from what the King James tells us. And that is, ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. It's like the unjust judge. You go before Him and say, Father, this is what we're looking at.
Those are all excellent scriptures, Alan. And it reminds me of the Lord's Prayer. And in there He says, give us this day our daily bread.
You can ask for that.
You can ask for that. What is daily bread? Christ said, I am the bread of life.
Yep.
Are you going to be asked to be filled with Him as it is in heaven, on earth? That's what we're saying. Lord, bring it down in me. So What do I want? When I ask for daily bread, I ask for the body of Jesus. He said, here's my body. Eat, and it'll give you life. There's nothing wrong with asking every day. God knows that what He gives you today will fulfill your need for today.
Same with communion. People think that you should take it once a month, or maybe if you're fortunate, once a week or something like that. But no, my goodness, He never restricts how often to take communion. And if you have a right focus in taking it, oh my goodness, take it as often as you can, because you're appropriating the body of Christ and the blood of Christ that He sacrificed for us. And that's our means of appropriation on a natural level, if you will.
They ask Him, how do we pray? And what was His response? Our Father who art in heaven. Mm-hmm. Was He worried about their physical bodies, their physical everyday things? Do you guys have a house? You know, are you making enough money? Do you need a little something out of the offerings we collect? Things like that. No. They asked Him, and He taught them how to relate to the Father, what to say, and what they could expect to receive. Daily bread.
What I'm hearing and experiencing is it's all about motivation, your motivation when you come before the Father and you talk to Him and you ask for things. And honestly, I think that as you get to know the Father and His heart, but it's kind of like a human father, a good human father. The kids don't need to come and ask for this and that, this and that, this and that. The Father, all He cares about is the relationship He has with them. Mm-hmm. And He's looking for a closeness with them. He's looking to spend time with them. Let's go play baseball. Let's go to the park. Let's go swimming. Let's go to the amusement park. He just wants to be with them. If the kids are drawn into that and they begin to just love their father and love to be with Him, he'll supply all their needs. They don't even have to ask him
right.
for this and ask for that and ask for this and ask for that. And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but I think, honestly, it's more of a distraction. As you mature in the Lord, you're finding out that if your focus, your heart, is really wanting to know him and wanting to do what he wants you to do all day long, and you're asking him, you know, what do I do today, Lord? You know, and you're walking out the best you can what he's telling you, he's going to supply your needs. Mm-hmm. I think there was somebody, and I can't remember who, what man of God it was, but he basically said, Lord, you know, I'm going to take care of your interest, and I'm going to trust that you're going to take care of mine.
Right.
And it was kind of a good attitude.
Yep.
And I think you're tested on that, because on a human level, we all have needs.
Mm-hmm.
So when those needs come up, what do you do? Do you let them consume your focus or your, you know, daily thinking or your spiritual focus? Or are you trusting the Father that he's going to supply those needs as you go about doing what he wants and focusing upon him? Easily said, not so easily walked in.
Yeah, honestly, sometimes I don't do that right away. But then I sit there for a while and I'll get a little notification from the Lord. No, I don't think that way. Come here. Come into my presence. Start thanking me for what you have. Start thanking me for what's going on in your life. Start thanking me for what I've given you, what I've provided for you. Sometimes I think that, you know, we don't always do what we should do. As we mature and as we grow up in the Lord, we start to catch ourselves, or the Lord catches us and says, no. Yeah. Don't go there. Come here. Come mm-hmm. into my presence.
You know, I want to share real quick an experience that I had that was probably one of the greatest blessings I could have ever received. And it was a time when my son was about 11 years old. I was home not feeling well at all. I was on the couch, and I would wake up, and there he'd be sitting at my feet. One time I woke up, and I just said, I'm so sorry, buddy. I wish we could do something, but I'm just not feeling well, you know. And he said, Dad, it is enough for me just to be here with you. That floored me, because that's the heart we all need to have towards our Father.
Yeah.
Just to be in your presence is all I need. When you're in his presence, all your questions go away, all your problems go away. He is that covering that he's just so magnificent that nothing adverse can come into his presence at all.
Like Ron was talking earlier about an earthly father and his children, how does that earthly father know? Well, I was a kid once. What did I want to do and didn't get to do? We can sometimes relate to our heavenly Father the same way. He knows what's best for us, and he will be first to give that to us. Give us what's best. So in our maturity, like Alan, your son, just to be here with you is what I want. That's all I need.
I also think that that is recognition or a manifestation of those who've touched the Lord. If yes. you've touched him, even in a small way, you know the love and the joy, and there's nothing that you can ask for on this earth that even compares to just a moment of touching the Father and his right. love and joy. There is no such thing as a human joy that even compares at all with the joy that comes when you touch the Father and you come into his presence, even if it's just very short. In fact, I believe he allows you to touch him because it creates in you this hunger and drive because you want more. You want to be there. You know, you, of course, you want to be there all the time. But then, of course, he uses that to work, to mature you and work on you. But nevertheless, I mean, he's smart. The thing that grieves my heart in myself is when I find myself out there craving other things. And then when you have this realization, you go back and you go, wait a minute, there's nothing out here in this world that even it's not even close. It's not like maybe close. It's not even in the same universe as touching and having an experience with the Father and being with him. And honestly, that's the inheritance for anybody that chooses. You know, there's nobody excluded from that unless you exclude yourself. He's not excluding you.
No.
That's why he sent his Son to open the door wide for everyone to have those touches, actually more than touches, but it starts with that.
In our relating to the Father, while it is important we know the principles, we're not approaching him as a beggar. And there's a level of persistence. Persistence is important. But in another way, it's if you have a real relationship with your Father, you're not planning how you're going to con him into doing what you want, but you're relating to him. You're loving him. And if you're a little frightened and upset, you express it to him. You're not worried about formulaic relating to the Father as though it was a magic ritual, but it's a relationship. Not to get too caught up in the semantics of how you speak or like your friend or your father. You just speak to him from your heart. And if there's something coming through wrong, he'll deal with it. You'll work it out.
Trust. We are to trust the Father. We're to trust him.
Right.
But he knows better than to trust us.
Right.
like a father. I know what you're up to, kid.
Yeah. At this point, and I think the balance is rapidly changing, and that's because his nature in us is rapidly changing and growing.
Experiencing the impartation of God's word through his family is life. Has this time in his presence blessed you? Then please subscribe to our podcast at livebehindtheveil.com. If you would like to contact the family with questions or topics that you would like discussed, you can email them to livingepistles@livebehindtheveil.com. Stay connected, tuned in, and grow with the family as the Lord unveils his word to us live behind the veil.